Welcome once again to a live edition of Faith in Action. We are on site at the Knights of Columbus Indiana Council Convention. It's an election year. Lots of things going on here. I'm Kent Blanford. Alongside me, Bridget Ayer.
Yeah.
And starting our day off, we've got Larry Kunkel, the district deputy,
yeah,
right across the table from us. So, Bridget.
Yeah, Larry. Well, tell us a little bit about yourself and tell us what the Knights of Columbus are and what you do.
Well, thanks, Ken and Bridget. Well, it's a very important weekend. It's the Knights of Columbus, our annual, our 117th state annual convention. So, and it's also election year, very important as we try to find the leadership to carry our mission through, which is all about charity and serving the church. So it's exciting, but I'm the district deputy.
Okay, and what is that exactly? I don't know anything about the hierarchy of the Knights of Columbus. So.
Okay, well, that's I understand that. Well, the district deputy is, in my role, I help support and provide assistance, I guess you could say, to the councils in the district. It's actually Hamilton County, so it's councils.
My neck of the woods.
Yeah.
I'm up in Carmel, so.
Okay, I'm Fisher, so I'm close
okay.
by. But,
okay.
But Fisher's, Carmel, and Noblesville, so. So I work with all those councils and any needs that they might have, and specifically, again, trying to carry out our mission of charity and serving the church, because really that's what we're all about.
So what are some of the charities that you support, like maybe around the state? And all the councils do different charities. How do they figure that out?
Yeah, well, there are some charities at the state of Indiana that are very important to us, and it all starts with, again, the church. So we support vocations, we support the seminarians. Each council in the state of Indiana provides monies to the state, which is then distributed to the seminarians here in the state of Indiana. That's an annual appeal, I guess, to our Knights of Columbus members. We have about, here in the state of Indiana, about 33,000 Knights of Columbus members. But
that's a lot.
Yeah, about 200 councils. So they all, many of those knights, men, they contribute to the seminarian fund, and
mm-hmm.
that's so important. Starting with without seminarians, we don't have a church. So.
Exactly. That's kind of important,
that
right?
That is very important. So, but folks,
gotta have the Eucharist, right?
That's right. That's right.
I think that was the gospel today. It was John 6 or something like that,
yeah.
And very good about the Eucharist and
Bread of the Life discourse. Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, it's great. And then also Special Olympics is very important to us. So. We've supported Special Olympics for several years here, especially in the state of Indiana and central Indiana, and too. So that's important to us. And then we also have a school for troubled youth in Terre Haute, which the Knights of Columbus, we're owners of the school. It's a Jabalt School for Troubled Youth.
Mm-hmm.
They range from ages 8 to 18. So we've had that school since 1923. So that was founded, you know, over 90 years ago, almost 100 years now. So those are two or three that are really important as far as the state of Indiana, those particular charities.
So how long has the Knights of Columbus been around? And is this just in the United States, or is this a worldwide thing?
Yeah.
I was trying to figure that out before I came over here.
Yeah, well, the Knights of Columbus, we've been around since 1882.
Okay.
A priest, Father Michael McGivney, began the Knights of Columbus in New Haven, Connecticut. So, and it's now in 14 countries throughout the world. So we're international.
Know that. That's really awesome.
Yeah. So we've added countries, South Korea, for instance, just recently, but the Philippines, Mexico, Canada, Ireland, and, you know, high concentration here, obviously, in the United States. But we are international now, which is exciting. So we're spreading that news about the Knights of Columbus and its charity and serving the church, you know, worldwide.
So I saw something where it says something, four pillars and one mission. What's that about? What are the four pillars? And tell us again what the one mission is.
Didn't know you were going to be in a quiz.
Yeah, I have to remember those pillars now. Okay.
Actually, someone told them to me in there. I said, well, I'm going to ask somebody else because I probably won't remember those.
Yeah, well,
is this a trick question?
Yeah, it's kind of a trick question, but we have actually four parts that are very important to us. That's charity, unity, fraternity, and patriotism.
Okay,
those are our pillars, and everything begins with charity. So when you join the Knights of Columbus, that's the focus. So if you're not a charitable person, you probably wouldn't want to join the Knights of Columbus.
Yeah.
and then the unity, obviously working together, because the more men you have, the more work we can do to do our charitable duties and charitable acts and serve the church. And it's a brotherhood. So we're all Catholic, practical Catholics, and we work with each other, help support each other, help our families.
Mm-hmm.
We help our churches, our parishioners, very important to us. And then patriotism, very important to us. So the flag is the symbol that's in all council meetings held throughout the world, and the United States in particular, our flag. But so those are the four cornerstones, the four pillars of the Knights of Columbus.
So how long have you been involved with the Knights, and how did you happen to get involved?
Good question. I've been, actually, this is my 40th year as a Knights of Columbus member.
That's amazing.
I was 20 years, I was in college.
Uh-huh.
And it was my father and my brother-in-law, they were Knights of Columbus, and they said, why don't you join? I said, sure. So I joined, and I became very, very involved in the early to mid-80s in the Fishers area. And since that time, we have continued involvement.
So how has that kind of impacted your faith? I mean, obviously you have, you know, it's kind of a fraternal brotherhood, right?
Mm-hmm.
But how has it impacted your faith? I mean, you've probably done so many different things. I mean, is there one thing that sticks out in your mind in terms of maybe just a really cool experience or just a really cool, volunteer experience that you had, or is there anything that sticks out in your mind?
The one thing that sticks out
in my mind. Or that you love the most?
Yeah. Well, it's the men that I'm around,
mm-hmm.
and their families, because it's an inspiration to me. It began, you know, many years ago with my own father and my brother-in-law, and it carried over to the various priests that I come in contact with,
mm-hmm.
that are strong supporters of the Knights of Columbus. And all the men that I've known through the years, and I continue to meet, that just they inspire me. They inspire me to want to do again the four pillars, follow through on that, and follow through on charity and serving the church. So, oh gosh, I've had a lot. You know, visiting the Jabal School for Troubled Youth,
mm-hmm.
Which this is basically without this school, these kids are probably in jail or, you know, whatever. So that is. That will cause an impact on your life for sure to
Absolutely.
See that and wanting to help those. Knights are very pro-life,
mm-hmm.
so we're strong supporters of 40 Days for Life. So
mm-hmm.
it helped enhance my my own pro-life views.
Mm-hmm.
And the Knights are you'll see them at 40 Days for Life in front of Planned Parenthood praying,
mm-hmm.
March for Life. I've attended the last few years with the Knights of Columbus. May
mm-hmm.
not have gone without
mm-hmm.
the Knights of Columbus. And that
mm-hmm.
was an awesome experience. Those have been awesome experiences, going to Washington, D.C. and marching with 200,000 or 300,000 other people. So.
I have never been to that event, and I cover the legislature for the Indiana Catholic Conference, and I'm always, you know, really tied up with that, and I've always wanted to go to that. So maybe one of these years I'll write ahead or something, or write remotely and get out there, because it just seems like a really great experience. Well, the Knights of Columbus just does so much. Does every parish, or do most parishes have how is it set up structurally? Is it like a parish and then a council, or how is that?
Well, the Knights of Columbus, of course, we're our own organization, and many parishes have Knights of Columbus councils on their campus,
mm-hmm.
but some don't. So in some cases, the Knights of Columbus Council might serve two or three different parishes, but parishes are usually affiliated in some way with the Knights of Columbus, but not each parish has a Knights of Columbus Council.
Okay, so now, is there a web page we can get on? Does anyone know what the web page is off the top
absolutely.
Of? You know, if someone wanted to join, they're listening, they want to join, or they just want to find out more information, where should they start?
Well, we have our national website, which is great. It's kofc.org. Really simple, kofc.org.
Okay.
And then for Indiana, it's indianakofc.org. So either one of those. So, you know, here in Indiana, you want to try to see what we're doing here in the Indiana area. You would go to our website. But nationally, we're international in the fact that we support Christians in the Holy Land, over $18 million that we've provided support for those Christians that are being persecuted in the Holy Land. So that's an example from an international standpoint how important it is. But those are the websites. Yeah.
So I know in our parish, and does each parish or each council decide what charity they would like to support? Is that how it works? And or what fundraisers they want to have? Because I know, like, I got Arlie to Mount Carmel, and they sell flowers. You know, they have different really cool fundraisers, and they put on, you know, a picnic. I mean, there's just always, the nights are just pretty much everywhere. If you go to a Catholic parish, if you're Catholic, you have to have heard about the nights, you know? So tell us a little bit about how they decide what they're going to do, and are there parameters?
Yeah, there really aren't any parameters per se.
As long as it's Catholic, right?
Right. We want to obviously, but we help. We'll help the homeless. We'll help anyone that needs. It's a need, but each council usually has. Obviously, they go to the church first. So, where are the needs in the church? Where are the charities in the church? So, they'll support the pastor and provide charities there. So,
mm-hmm.
And each church, you know, is a little bit different as far as some of the charities. But,
sure.
But for the councils, it starts with the church, and then again, it is local because there are various agencies or various. Needs in the individual communities that may not be in other communities. So, but you know, Special Olympics is a good example in the fact that almost all councils are involved in that through our Tootsie Roll program.
Oh yeah, we have Tootsie Rolls at Catholic Radio. As a matter of fact, during Lent, I had to really hold back because I did other things, but I did give up sugar, which was difficult
you're disciplined.
For me.
Right.
Yeah, it was my mortification, right?
Yeah.
So tell us about that.
Well,
though.
That is almost all councils are involved in that, and that's a Knights of Columbus initiative that they're almost all involved in because the money typically goes to the intellectually handicapped or Special Olympics primarily. So, and the way that really works is that whether it's a parish level, the council level, and then in the community, the Knights of Columbus will be in front of grocery stores or retail outlets and, you know, giving out Tootsie Rolls and accepting any cash donations that folks feel like that they want to be able to get. So.
Well, this has been a delight to have you, Larry Kunkel. It looks like I'm getting the Bridget, we need to take a break sign. So thank you so much. God bless you and enjoy the weekend.
Thank you, Bridget. God bless you.
All right. Well, stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Yeah, we're going to take about a 2-minute break here, and we'll be back with more live from the national or the state convention of the KMC. You're listening to Faith in Action on Catholic Radio Indy.
Have you ever thought about joining the Catholic Church? Have you just wanted to explore the Catholic faith? All you need to do is call your local Catholic Church for more information. We are always happy to help you in your journey to discover and learn more about the Catholic faith. We have classes that are almost year-round, and the classes and information sessions do not involve making a commitment, and there is no pressure to join. Please call your local Catholic parish for more information today and start the journey of one day possibly becoming Catholic as well. God bless.
Had enough cold weather and snow? Well, put winter behind you. Sign up now for the Catholic Radio Indy Annual Golf Outing. It's coming up on Tuesday, May 22nd at the Plum Creek Golf Club in Carmel. It's a great day, beginning with Mass at 11 a.m., followed by lunch, golf, prizes, and a great dinner. The gold level underwriter for this event is Marion Financial Partners. Holy Rosary Parish is our Silver Plus underwriter, and Thurston Springer Financial is our Silver Level underwriter. There'll be an all-American grill buffet for lunch and delicious chicken and barbecue ribs for dinner. Plus, at the dinner, Chris Ballard, general manager of the Colts, will let you know all about the upcoming season. There's plenty of room for foursomes and for individual golfers. Foursomes are $450, individual golfers $125. Plus, there's opportunities for sponsorships as well. All proceeds benefit Catholic Radio Indy. To sign up, visit catholicradioindy.org or call us at 317-870-8400.
Think of all the media our young people are exposed to today. MTV, movies, what passes for entertainment on TV, song lyrics that are questionable or worse. Where do they hear the message that it's okay to be chaste and modest, or that it's not crazy to practice their faith, or to believe in a God who loves them and can forgive them no matter what they do? Catholic Radio is the answer. Be sure to tell your friends and relatives about Catholic Radio Indy.
And we are back live at the Knights of Columbus, Indiana Convention. I'm Kim Blanford. Along with me, Bridget Hare.
Yep.
And this is a live edition of Faith in Action. We had a visitor drop by the office the other day to trade out the Tootsie Rolls that are on our desk.
Oh, yeah. They did. They're gone now?
We naturally have. We always have a box of Tootsie Rolls on the desk as part of the fundraisers for the Knights of Columbus. And when Chris dropped by, he pointed out that they have his council up in the Fishers area has been working with the Indiana School for the Deaf. It's a new program. They just kind of hooked this up this year. It's something that they're trying out and wanting, you know, possibly to expand in the future. For example, they, with the fundraiser, managed to present a check for $1,000 at the homecoming game for the Indiana School for the Deaf. That same day, they had a Tootsie Roll drive where they went around and, you know, sold Tootsie Rolls at the stadium. And
they raised
over $200.
Wow, that's pretty good.
Just selling Tootsie Rolls. And the nice thing was is the fact that the Knights showed the kids how to do it, and the kids took it from there.
Oh, that's even better.
So these are the kinds of things that, mentoring, that the Knights do right out there on site. And in the process, they conducted a toy drive during Lent and dropped off 177 items for the school to use, things like coloring books, board games, DVDs, puzzles, all those kinds of things. And those items were presented at the end of a free throw contest that they sponsored.
How fun.
They've got other things coming up. They're planning on doing a soccer challenge, a cornhole tournament. They're going to be around for the high school football game in this year. And these are the kinds of connections that the Knights are doing out there in the community. Just the little things that we see, maybe not exactly within a parish or within an area, but, you know, the Indiana School for the Deaf, this is the first time anyone has approached them for a partnership like this.
Wow.
And, you know,
that's pretty hard to believe.
Yeah, the Knights took the step out, and they're going to do that. And from what Chris was telling me, looks like they may be looking at doing an association with the School for the Blind also in the near future.
That would be really
sitting
awesome.
Across the table from me, we have a familiar voice on Catholic Radio, Andy. He's been with us before quite a few times. The familiar voice, the familiar person of Scott Cunningham. Scott, welcome aboard.
Thank you very much. It's always a pleasure to be with you. One of the things, I hate to correct you on air.
Oh, I'll take any correction that needs.
That is Council 12387, Bishop Fulcher Council, the St. Elizabeth Seton in Carmel.
Carmel.
Chris Hodel is the leader around the state of finding new ways to do the Tootsie Roll drives. And just for clarification, we do not sell Tootsie Rolls.
Ah.
We give them away and ask for donations for special
events. All right.
Looking like a pro right
he,
there,
he
right?
He has spearheaded the activity of going to a lot of the football games and basketball games between the Catholic high schools in the Indianapolis and northern Indianapolis and Hamilton County area,
mm-hmm.
and has now partnered up with the School for the Deaf, and we're looking at helping out with the School for the Blind. One of the reasons I'm a little particular about how that is represented is that's my home council.
Well, now you see, I have to beg forgiveness because I'm a Greenwood kid.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're completely on the opposite side of town, so, you know, I wouldn't know which council was which up yonder, so excuse me.
So that's
mea culpa.
That's the great thing about Catholic Radio. When I'm doing a show, I always feel like, well, if I make a mistake, you know, I'm in a friendly crowd, they'll probably forgive me, so.
Well, yes, I definitely would forgive.
And if it's a major mistake, there's always confession.
There you go.
Yeah,
I can't help you with that.
Well, yeah.
I've done a lot of things around the state, but they don't let me do that.
There are a number of priests, I'm assuming there'll probably be a bishop or two coming through here. I know I've seen at least one Monsignor, so I think we're covered on that if we need
yes.
So, Scott, I want you to tell us a little bit about your role in the Knights of Columbus, what you do, and you gave me this title, and I'm not sure what it is, but tell us what it is and what you do.
Okay, well, I wear a couple of hats
right now.
First, I am the immediate past state deputy. Which means that I was the state deputy 2 years ago. This is the second part of my final term as a state officer.
Okay.
So I'm a current state officer for the Indiana State Council.
And in that role, what do you do?
Generally. Well, I've got a funny version of this, but the funny version is I laugh at the guy that's currently running things because
he does something different than you.
I did it for 2 years. Now he's doing it for 2 years, and I get to giggle when he steps on the same landmines I did. But in all seriousness, I serve as any other officer does, where we guide the formation of programming, the development of membership throughout the state, helping out our district deputies and Grand Knights and our local councils develop their programs. I also am involved in what you would describe as a being a member of the board of directors on a corporation.
Mm-hmm.
The Indiana State Council is a nonprofit charity organization in and of itself. So there is the day in, day out business to attend to.
Mm-hmm.
And so then I serve with those other state officers in completing those business activities as well.
Okay, and did you give your second title?
The other job I have right now is called Master. If you are familiar, we saw a couple of them. I know it's radio, so your audience can't see it.
You can describe it.
But you'll see the knights, the fourth degree knights. The fourth degree is the highest degree in our order. And you typically see those gentlemen in the ostrich feather hats,
yeah,
chapeau, with a cape of varying colors depending upon their rank, and is carrying a sword. You'll see these gentlemen providing honor guard at funerals,
mm-hmm,
or color guards at opening ceremonies for the Special Olympics Indiana Summer Games,
mm-hmm,
or in local parades, those kind of activities out in the community. I am the district master master of the Indiana District of the fourth degree, which means I'm kind of like the state deputy, but for the fourth degree knights.
Okay. So what kind of charities are you very excited about in terms of that the knights help?
Oh, well, first off, our pride and joy is the Jabal School in Terre Haute, Jabal Children's Services.
And talk a little bit about what they do there.
In 1921... the Knights of Columbus founded this school as a gift to Indiana and its bishops. It started much like a Mickey Rooney's Boys Town.
Mm-hmm.
It was a home for boys. As the years have passed, and we, meaning as a society, have gotten better at diagnosing mental issues, stress-induced clinical issues, trauma, post-traumatic stress syndrome caused by abuse,
mm-hmm,
sexual abuse, drug addiction, as well as other dissociative orders like Asperger's and autism. We've gotten better as a society at identifying those, diagnosing those issues, which it used to be just, oh, he's acting out because he's, you know, a ne'er-do-well child. Now we're able to diagnose those, provide them with the guided treatments and resocialization so that they can join their counterparts at varying levels of school. It also is accredited
mm-hmm
high school,
mm-hmm,
Holy Cross High School. So the students, or sometimes they're called clients, have the ability to get a high school degree where they may not have been able to do so before. Typical residents typically stay for around 90 days, depending upon their treatment plan. And then the staff at Jabal does provide follow-up care to make sure that once they do go back into their school systems or back to their environments, they are continuing to build on the skill sets that helps them cope with their certain and specific needs and being able to deal with the stresses that they face. The unfortunate thing is a lot of times these kids around the holidays will act out and get in trouble. They'll get put on punishment, as some like to say,
mm-hmm,
right before the holidays. And the sad thing is they do that because they think that they will be forced to go home for the holidays, and they're going back to a toxic environment.
Mm-hmm.
They don't understand that they would never send a child back into a toxic environment, and they're welcome to stay if they can. So these kids are coming out of some very horrific situations in their home life, and that expresses itself, or that culminates in disruptive behavior in the classroom, sometimes criminal behavior.
So it's great that children or young adults have this place to go as a way to improve their situation and stay out of, jail or whatever. Mm-hmm. So it's great that the Knights do that. So I want to ask you, how long have you been a Knight, and what do you like about being a Knight? And what kind of impact has it had on you? Oh, you know what? We need to take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
We're going to take about a one-minute break here, and we'll be right back with more on The Faith in Action. You're listening
Ever
to Catholic
since
Radio.
We've been on the air at Catholic Radio, we've always wanted to have billboards, but they just don't fit in our budget. And since you'll probably never see a real billboard for us, I'm going to ask you to do something, to imagine one. In your mind, picture a large, empty billboard. Yeah, that's it. Now pick a background color, any color at all. Okay, then across the top of your billboard, put just two words, Catholic Radio. Make them really big. Then below that, in even bigger letters, put 89.1 and 90.9 FM. Wow, that's a great billboard. Now, if this billboard were real, all of your friends and neighbors could see it, and they'd know all about Catholic Radio. But since it's only an imaginary billboard, we're going to have to depend on you to tell your friends about Catholic Radio. Remember, Catholic Radio 89.1 and 90.9 FM. Oh, and by the way, nice choice on that background color. It really looks good.
And we are back at the Knights of Columbus Indiana Convention. I'm Tim Blanford. Alongside me, Bridget Eyre.
Yep.
We've had a guest change during that one-minute break there.
Yeah.
Because we have a guest that we definitely need to get on. We have Monsignor Schwarzkopf has joined us. And it's a rare opportunity when we can get the priests here for our live broadcast, mainly because there's a Mass coming up at 5 o'clock. And
right.
We need to get them here and get them moved on so they can get into the proper garb and be ready for that Mass. So, welcome, Monsignor Schwarzkopf.
Glad to be here.
So, tell us where. I don't know where you're from, and I think you are the chaplain here.
I am the state chaplain.
The state chaplain. Okay.
That's where we call it the jurisdiction of Indiana.
Okay.
And I have been chaplain for 2 years. Was the assistant chaplain for 2 years before that, and Father Ted Rothrock. From the Lafayette Diocese with state chaplain.
Okay, so are you here in Indianapolis?
I am just south of Indianapolis at Our Lady of Greenwood in the city of Greenwood.
Oh, okay. I know that parish well, but I haven't met you, so nice to meet you.
Yeah.
So now tell us, what exactly do you do as a state chaplain? What are your responsibilities here with the Knights?
Well, it's a large organization. It's like 130 different councils. And I go around and visit, try and be a support to the other priests who are chaplains. We just finished having our state chaplains meeting. Now, that's not as many guys as you might think, because I joke that all the rest of them are doing wedding rehearsals this evening.
Yeah, they might be.
Either that or they're at the Pacer game. But, yeah, I try and work with other priests, and we as priests talk about how we can, it'll be part of my sermon tonight, how we can really make Christ present to people by providing the sacraments, by preaching and forming the community. Christ is present to us in the Eucharist, but he's also present to us in the most vulnerable, and he's present to us in families, in the Word, and the Knights of Columbus are involved in all of that.
So what do you feel is the Knights of Columbus, what makes them so awesome? What makes them unique from other men's groups?
Well, for one thing, they're very well administered by what we call the Supreme Council. And
What does that mean exactly?
The worldwide organization.
Okay.
And the Supreme Knight is a very fine Catholic, very intelligent, knows what's going on with the Catholic Church, Carl Anderson.
Mm-hmm.
And he's surrounded by a tremendous staff. And there is a national chaplain who is an archbishop, but there are also other chaplains on the staff that assist me and help us know how we can feed the Knights with our inspiration.
You know, something I was thinking about when I was talking to one of our guests is that how important Christian community is, especially for men, to have that community with each other. And it seems like the Knights really fills that need to a certain extent.
Well, we've been reading in weekly readings at Mass, especially the Gospel from John 6 during this week.
I think we're talking about that.
How Christ is really present in his body and blood in the Eucharist.
Mm-hmm.
But Christ is really present in the people who are persecuted. Like Paul said, who is it that you are? And Jesus says, it is I that you are persecuting. Where Paul didn't do anything to Jesus, but he did persecute St. Stephen, mm-hmm. whom he had martyred, and he was persecuting other Christians. Christ is present in those. Knights defend the most vulnerable, especially children, widows, the unborn. Christ is really present as the Word of God made flesh in the sacred scriptures. And Knights do study the sacred scriptures. In my parish, Knights meet and go over scripture. Christ is present in his mystical body, the church. And fraternity is one of the pillars of our Knights of Columbus order. So we make Christ present in the church. When you see a knight,
mm-hmm.
you know that this is a man who stands for Christ.
You know, it's just really exciting. I knew about the Knights of Columbus, but I didn't really know the scope of all that they do. And there's so many too. I think I looked the last number I saw, 2015, I think it was around 2 million. Is that about right in the United States?
Those are 2 million very active men. They really are. That's probably a worldwide number.
Of course,
the Knights of Columbus is most active in the United States. It's also very active in Europe, but not as much as you might think.
So what are some of the things that go on at this convention?
Well, it's a lay-run organization,
mm-hmm.
all volunteer,
mm-hmm.
and so each council, which could be pretty much like a parish group, sometimes three or four parishes will come together to form a council. They have their own grand night, and those men change. They move up the ladder. Maybe last year they were the assistant grand night, or they were a secretary of one thing. They have to learn their new duties. So a lot of this convention is training the new officers
mm-hmm.
on the local level. And then, like we have deaneries and dioceses,
mm-hmm.
our jurisdiction of Indiana is broken up into districts. We have district deputies, 16 of whom are retiring tomorrow.
Oh, wow, that's a lot.
And so there are about 14 here being trained to be new district deputies. So a lot of training of the officers.
And I'm sure there's a lot of camaraderie going on, too, you know, just people reconnecting and visiting and all that. And I'm sure there's going to be mass and some good food, right?
Oh, yeah, good times. Yeah, it's fraternity is a big part of it. And you can't have just work with no being able to process it, saying, how'd you feel about that? Wasn't that great?
Mm-hmm.
It's a real up organization.
So what kind of impact has, I guess, being a part of the Knights had for you, for your spirituality or for your, you know, faith walk?
Well, I started being a Knight 43 years ago when I was a priest in a parish, and they said they're signing up men downstairs, and I thought, well, I'm a man, I'll go sign up, and I've been with it ever since.
Wow, that's a long time.
Been chaplain for several local councils. I was a chaplain for the fourth degree around Indianapolis, call that chaplain the faithful friar,
mm-hmm.
and then just love being able to be with men who are active about their faith. And you know what they say? They say, Father, whatever you need in the parish, we'll do it for you. That's pretty good.
That's really
those
good,
kind of
isn't
people
it?
You want to support because they're supporting you.
Absolutely.
And they mean it.
Yeah.
They mean it. And you know what?
And
a lot of my
through.
Brother priests say that's too good to be true. And I can tell the other priests, it is true. You just ask these guys, and they'll do anything they can to produce what you need.
That's awesome. You know, we probably need to take a break, but before we do so, would you give our listening audience a blessing?
Sure. Dear Lord, we are on the verge of entering into Good Shepherd Sunday. We pray for all of those who shepherd the church, from our bishops and archbishops. We pray for those who are pastors, the Latin word for a shepherd, in our parishes, for all of those who watch over and protect other people and feed them in any way. Send us your blessing, watch over us all, and protect us always. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you so much. God bless you, Monsignor. Okay. Thanks for being our guest.
And we're going to take about a two-minute break here, and we'll be back with more live from the Indiana State Convention of the Knights of Columbus. And you are listening to Faith in Action on Catholic Radio Indy.
You know us as Catholic Radio Indy, but we're so much more than just radio. We're a website, CatholicRadioIndy.org, with access to great Catholic resources, including podcasts of all our local programming, podcasts that have been downloaded from all 50 states and over 40 countries on 6 continents. Yes, we are Catholic Radio Indy, but thanks to your support, we're taking the gospel of Christ to the ends of the earth. Catholic Radio Indy and CatholicRadioIndy.org.
If you're a golfer, you probably know this sound. That's the sound of you teeing off with that shot that you hope just might be a hole-in-one. And you probably know this sound also. That's the sound of your golf ball going into the cup 5 strokes later. It doesn't matter how you golf. If you have fun golfing, you're going to enjoy our Catholic Radio Golf Outing Tuesday, May 22nd at Plum Creek Golf Club in Carmel. It's a full day with Mass at 11 o'clock, lunch at 11:30, a full afternoon of golf, and a delicious dinner with guest speaker Chris Ballard, General Manager of the Indianapolis Colts. Don't miss it. You can sign up now by calling 317-870-8400 or by going online to CatholicRadioIndy.org. That's 317-870-8400 or CatholicRadioIndy.org.
Most of us like to keep up on what's going on in the world and try to catch a little news each day. Did you know that you can catch the very latest Catholic news right on our website? We have news from Rome, from around the world, and here at home, updated every day so you always know what's going on from a Catholic perspective. Check it out. Go to CatholicRadioIndy.org and look for the Catholic news headlines. There's always something new at CatholicRadioIndy.org.
At the Indiana Knights of Columbus Convention, I'm Kent Blanford. This is a special edition of Faith in Action. Alongside me, the hostess of Faith in Action, Bridget Ayer.
Bridget Ayer.
And across the table from us, a familiar voice.
Yes.
He's been with us a few times on Catholic Radio, Father Brian Iman.
Yes.
Hello.
Welcome.
How are you doing, Ken? Bridget, it's good to see you again.
We are doing great, and actually the priests are having Mass here at about 5, and so Father Inman, did I say
Inman?
He is already vested up. I wish this wasn't radio because he has the coolest vestments on right now. He's the coolest dressed guy in this place here. So tell us a little bit about yourself and what's going on here at the convention.
Well, I'm a native of Cleveland, Ohio.
Okay.
And so I have divided loyalties over the basketball game this evening.
All right.
Understandable.
That's good. Glad we got that right out of the way.
And I'm a priest of the Byzantine Catholic Eparchy of Parma, which covers the whole 13 states of the Midwest for all the Byzantine Catholic churches. And we have 30 churches in that eparchy. And St. Athanasius the Great, I'm the pastor there. And that's here in Indianapolis.
I've been there to the Divine Liturgy. It's a really, really awesome experience.
Everyone does really need to come because it really is a beautiful experience. And my congregation is really beautiful people.
I bet they are. Last time I was there, they were really, really on fire.
Yeah.
Everybody's on fire.
We're on fire.
The whole place is on fire. Really It is.
Well, we have the oldest wooden church in central and southern Indiana, so not that kind of fire.
Right.
The fire of the Holy Spirit.
Exactly. That's what I'm talking about. So you're a knight?
I am a knight. I'm a fourth degree knight. I've been fourth degree knight for over 20 years now, and I am the associate state chaplain for Indiana for the Knights of Columbus, and I will become state chaplain in July of this year.
Okay, so talk a little bit about what the chaplain does.
Well, state chaplain helps oversee the spiritual aspects of the Knights of Columbus, and there are various programs that the Knights of Columbus have to improve the spiritual life of Catholic men, particularly, and also as men's as head of Catholic families.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have a program, Building the Domestic Church, which is a very important program for us in helping to build Catholic families.
Absolutely.
And that's one of the most important things. And I, as the associate state chaplain and then a state chaplain, help to make sure that that's being integrated on the very council level and assembly levels within the state of Indiana.
I'm so impressed by, you know, we have, you know, Monsignor, he's, you know, in charge of a big parish, and yourself, same, and you do all these other things. It's just amazing, you know. How do you do it all?
It's time management. The good thing, I have a master's degree in industrial engineering. That's all I can say, because I have until recently, I was also the dean of a 10-state region and also our director of missions. But I felt in becoming state chaplain, I needed to have my bishop assign others to do those duties, because I just thought that it would be just a bit much.
Now, I know that you have a burning desire to share about a pilgrimage that you were going to be leading here, which we're a bit off topic, but you know what? Go ahead and talk about you have a burning desire to talk about that, so go ahead.
Well, certainly do. I am leading a pilgrimage this fall from October the 4th through the 14th to the Holy Land. And it will be based here in Indianapolis,
mm-hmm.
And we're going to be flying via Newark onto Tel Aviv, and it's going to be we're going to, of course, visit all the typical holy places,
mm-hmm.
and we're also going to visit some places that many of the tourists don't typically go to.
Okay.
So, for example, we'll celebrate the Divine Liturgy in the synagogue church in Nazareth.
Oh, wow. That'd
and
be
that's
neat.
Because that happens to be the Melkite Greek Catholic Church in Nazareth, and it's where Christ preached in the synagogue. And so that's why it's nicknamed the synagogue church. So that's one place that we'll celebrate. Another part of this tour that will make it unique is that we will be having supper with Palestinian and Israeli Christian families as part of our tour, sharing the bread, it's called.
That's unique.
And that will be a way for people from the United States to really encounter the living church, the living stones of the church in Israel and in Palestine.
So that's a little promo. If they want for more information about that, do you have contact information or a webpage?
You can contact me at 216-780-2555. That's 216-780-2555, and I'll be happy to send anyone information. That's my personal cell phone number, so, you know, just call it for things like that.
I'm going to be texting you emojis now with smiley faces and stuff like that. People can probably also get in touch with Catholic Radio Indy, www.catholicradioindy.org, and we can connect you if you're interested in the Holy Land
pilgrimage,
right.
It'll be a great time. I've traveled, done it many times, so it's a great time.
So how long have you been involved with the Knights, and what kind of impact has it had on, have you seen it have on others, and has it had on you, your spirituality?
Well, I've been involved with the Knights for over 20 years.
Okay, that's a long time.
And I've been a priest now 33 years. But really, it started much before that, in a way, because my grandfather was a very active member of the Knights of Columbus. My father was not, but my grandfather was. And so being a part of the Knights of Columbus was always something that was in the family. And my maternal grandfather was a very active member of the Knights of Columbus. So I was going to things at Knights of Columbus Hall since I was knee-high to a grasshopper. and I'm 6'5" now. So
I can attest to that. We're sitting down. I'm not being overshadowed right now. Actually, I still am a little bit, but that's okay. It's okay.
Right.
So what kind of impact do you see, you know, all the charitable works that go on with the Knights, what kind of impact do you see that having on others? And then how has that impacted your faith?
Well, I'll just take one particular example, and that has to do with the pro-life work of the Knights of Columbus.
Mm-hmm.
And there are so many other things, but that's one that really, when I decided to get involved, that was what really initially attracted me to working with the Knights of Columbus. For many years, I have been going to the National March for Life mm-hmm. in Washington, D.C., and the Knights were always there.
Mm-hmm.
And so locally, when I at that time I was in northeastern Ohio, and the Knights were always involved in those activities. And so for me, it was just a typical thing. And so I said, I really need to become a part of the Knights of Columbus to help support this. And so they support the marches and everything like that. But even more than that, they support various pro-life pregnancy centers.
Mm-hmm.
One very hands-on way is in raising money to provide ultrasounds, like 4D ultrasounds now to pro-life pregnancy centers in all over the place, and vans, mobile vans that take this all over the place. And if you ever seen one of those, one of those images,
mm-hmm.
you know why the pro-abortion people don't want this to be shown.
Mm-hmm.
Because
it's like a baby.
It is a baby. And it's like
they
can't lie about it anymore. So,
right.
And another thing here in the state of Indiana, the Knights have been involved in the baby box program as well.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it's been an uphill battle because, there were some folks in the state that were opposed, and then others who just wanted to make sure that the babies were going to be safe, which
sure.
is, of course, we also want as well. And so the baby boxes that are in various places throughout the state, and there'll be more, are basically through the support and of the Knights of Columbus.
And I do remember just in the past week or two, there was a success story
right.
of a baby box being used at a fire station in northern Indiana.
Correct, and that's the second time that box has been used.
Interesting. Amazing that that is available.
Yeah. Actually, I wrote about that story. I wrote about the baby box issue because I cover the State House, so I knew what you were talking about. But for people who don't know what the baby box is, will you tell what a baby box is?
Well, baby box is basically it's an anonymous way in which a mother who has a newborn that she doesn't feel she can adequately care for can place anonymously in this safe, heated box, which is a part of a facility that will be able to care for the baby. So it needs to be at a hospital or at
a fire station,
someplace that is manned 24 hours a day.
Yep.
And they can. And then when the baby is placed into that box, then an alarm goes off and care is being able to be immediately provided for that child. And the mother can be anonymous. But in Indiana, of course, that's a legal thing to do. And it's a lot better than trying and finding a baby in a dumpster.
Absolutely.
And this is safe.
Yeah.
And this really has, it's a sign that we care about the life of everyone.
Absolutely. And the other thing about, the pro-life, I know that the Knights are very involved with the 40 Days for Life.
Right.
And you mentioned the pro-life thing. But, people don't realize is that it's just such a prayerful, they're prayerful things. They're not protests so much as they're very, very prayerful. Mm-hmm. And I think people maybe in the mainstream media doesn't really give it of a very good representation because it's really different than what some people might think.
It's completely different than what the mainstream media shows.
And the reason I say that is because I've been to these and it wasn't what maybe I thought it was going to be. And I think other people that go to a 40 Days for Life, it's a prayer vigil. People are kneeling down, they're praying, they're quiet. It's, very, very prayerful.
And if you ever go to a March for Life,
yeah, same
that's
thing.
That's another thing. It is a prayerful, you know, peaceful activity. I've been actively involved in the pro-life movement as a priest since 1992,
mm-hmm.
and with the Village Cities of Refuge program that was done by Operation Rescue back then, and
mm-hmm.
so, and I've never seen violence
mm-hmm.
from the pro-life people.
Mm-hmm.
I've been the victim of violence from the other side.
Well,
so.
things can happen, and we pray for everyone, right?
Indeed.
We all need prayer, right?
Yes, very much so.
So, is it the Jabalt?
Yes.
Talk about that. That's another. We could say that's a pro-life. You know,
certainly.
Everything the Catholic Church does is pro-life.
Jabalt
right?
was actually founded with the auspices of the Knights of Columbus and the support of the Knights of Columbus back in 1921. And originally it was for boys, but now it's for children who are in need of all ages, and it cares for children who are in troubled circumstances. I don't want to really say troubled children, but
mm-hmm.
usually it's children who are in troubling circumstances and that need some guidance and support. And that's one of the principal fundraisers reasons that the Knights of Columbus in the state of Indiana raise funds to support Jabalt. And, you know, it's out there in Terre Haute, in the rural areas right by Terre Haute, and it really is a beautiful place.
Now, do you have any idea how many Catholics or how many Knights there are in Indiana, roughly?
30,000.
30,000, that's a lot. That's a lot. Well, you know what? We're going to take a break, but before we do, we've had a blessing before, but we can never get too many blessings, so would you give us a blessing?
May the blessing of the Lord be upon you through his grace and loving kindness always, now and forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
And we're going to take a short break here, about 2 minutes, and we'll be back to kind of wrap things up here at the Indiana Convention of the Knights of Columbus. I'm Kip Blanford, along with Bridget Eyre. You're listening to Faith in Action on Catholic Radio Indy.
Here at Catholic Radio Indy, we guarantee you will be getting 100% Catholic programming 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Evangelization, catechesis, apologetics, and so much more, all in keeping with the teaching of the Catholic Church. Catholic Radio Indy is always there, at home or on the road, accessible on the air, online, and on your phone by app or dial-up service. So listen in. Catholic Radio Indy is your source for 100% Catholic programming 24/7.
Besides going to Mass each Sunday, we're all encouraged to spend a little time with our Lord each week, to shut out distractions, to present our prayers to God, and then just listen. In today's hectic world, that sounds impossible, doesn't it? Well, chances are, there's an adoration chapel in a Catholic church not far from where you live, a place where you can spend an hour or just a few minutes in the real presence of our Lord Jesus Christ in the Blessed Sacrament, in a quiet, peaceful setting where you can really talk to Jesus. And more importantly, He can talk to you. Many chapels are open 24 hours a day. Here are some of the places where you'll find adoration chapels: at St. Mary's Parish, St. Patrick's Parish, St. Therese the Little Flower, and St. Thomas More Parish. Why not stop by soon? Jesus is there, and He is waiting to talk to you.
An interview with Brother Trenton Rout and how Catholic radio influenced his vocation.
I was not struck by lightning and knocked off my horse. I had a lot of time driving in the car listening to the radio, and I just got to a point where I would prefer to listen to something that would be intellectually stimulating. At the same time, I was learning about the faith, having that accessible, particularly the apologetics.
Catholic Radio, building faith, building vocations.
And welcome back to the Knights of Columbus Indiana Convention on Faith in Action. I'm Kent Blanford, along with Bridget Eyre. Sitting across the table from us, we have State Deputy Marty McCoy, a familiar voice on Catholic Radio. He's in the station quite frequently, which is a great thing. We love our connections with the Knights of Columbus.
Yes. Good to see you, Kent and Bridget. Very nice to meet you.
Yes, nice to meet you. Now, will you tell us what the mission of the Knights of Columbus is? We've been talking about that, but go ahead and
our mission is to, one, be in solidarity with our bishops and our priests.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever Father needs, Father gets.
Yeah, that's what one of the Monsignor was saying, yes, that he can always rely.
Can always count on us.
Yes.
Okay, and also to help the needy, to help the outcasts, to help those in the peripheries, that are sometimes forgotten, by everybody. And this is who we help. This is who we are. The Special Olympians, pro-life. We do ultrasounds. We save lives. So we spread the wealth. We spread the wealth among a lot of things, but the biggest is, of course, evangelizing our Catholic faith, and that's the biggest.
And, I think it was Father Inman that just was here.
Father Inman, yeah.
Inman, mm-hmm, that was talking about a spiritual program that I'm not sure if you're familiar with it, but building up the domestic
building
church.
Building the domestic church, yes.
So that's really cool.
Very big. It's a very big program. Supreme is, our corporate office. We call them Supreme. I like corporate. Sounds a little easier, on everybody. It's not as intimidating, but there are a bunch of great people, but they're really focusing on that program, and it's taking things home. It's building off of what our parish priests do in the parish itself,
mm-hmm,
and with a Knights community, that just bolsters it. It just helps them to get their job done that much easier.
So how long have you been a Knight, and what kind of an impact does it have on your faith?
Oh my, both my wife and I have been involved with the state family now for, Scott and I were talking about 12 years. Prior to that, I'm a Knight about almost 20 years.
Okay, that's a long time.
But when you make a commitment as a state officer, it's a 10-year-plus commitment.
Mm, okay.
And what that does for us and our faith is incredible. And the people you get to meet, it turns you around. It's a complete 180, and it makes you appreciate things.
So is there a particular charity or ministry or event that you have taken part in that the Knights was involved with, how you got involved, but that really touched you or that really made an impact on you?
Well, big impact on us is Jabal, and that's our number one charity. And the Knights founded that organization in 1921, and we've been helping children and families of all shapes and sizes for that long, over 100 years. And we've served well over 10,000 children. And
that's a lot.
It's a lot of children. And our census is up every day there. But between them and the great staff that they have down there, which I am the chairman of the board elect right now.
is there anything you don't do,
Marty? Yeah, I know. That's my next chapter with my wife. So, and my wife is actually a board member as well.
Very good.
Yeah, between that and our Special Olympics, which Scott Cunningham, our media past state deputy, was a big, big figure in helping us land that relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, you talk about powerful.
So what happens? And we have, I think, about 5 minutes before Mass starts. So yes. I want to make sure I get you the Mass on time. The priests are already vested up.
Yeah.
They're looking good too.
Uh huh. They look
looking
sharp.
Very Easter.
We clean them
up
pretty good. Yeah.
Oh, we got 2 minutes. Okay. So why don't you give a quick overview of what's going to happen here?
Well, we're going to have a nice Mass, opening Mass here tonight, and then we're going to treat our chaplains to a very nice reception and dinner.
Mm-hmm.
We feed them a lot of beef, and
mm-hmm,
they love it. And then tomorrow we'll get into a nice open session where everybody's invited to see what good things we've brought to the table as far as our jurisdiction and the order itself. We'll give some awards away in the morning, which is something new that we're injecting into the program this year. Then we'll have a business session, and then we'll have some workshops. We'll end it on Sunday with some elections, and
okay,
that would be our new state officers. Paul is obviously in line to take my place, and I'll be sliding into the Mr. Irrelevant role.
I jest.
But Gail and I can relax a little bit now, as we go forward. So,
well, if anyone was listening who wanted to learn more about the Knights, maybe they wanted to contribute to the Knights, maybe they wanted to join the Knights, what contact information do you have?
www.indianakfc.org, and there's a lot of information there for you to have.
Say it again one
more time. www.indianakfc.org.
Now, you'll notice he emphasized the of. Because if you go to www.kfc,
you get chicken. Very good, Kent.
And that is all the time we have for today. For Bridget Eyre, for all the folks here at the Knights of Columbus Convention, I'm Kent Blanford. Thank you for joining us, and I'll return it to the station and your regularly scheduled programs. Thank you for listening to Catholic Radio Indy.